I have two passages from the Bible that I want to read. Can you do two this morning? They're short. The first one is from the Gospel of John, and it's a story. A similar version of this story is told in all four of the stories about Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell some version of this story. And if you were here last week, we heard something very similar. I want to read this to you again, because this morning we're thinking about what? Smell. Smell. So listen to how smell comes into this story. It was 6 days before the holiday called the Passover. And Jesus came to a town that was called Bethany. Bethany was the home of Lazarus, the man whom Jesus had raised up from the dead. Lazarus and his sisters hosted a dinner for Jesus. Imagine what that dinner smelled like. Can you? Maybe some of that rosemary you smelled earlier. They're hosting a dinner for Jesus. Martha served. Lazarus was among the ones who joined Jesus sitting around the table. And then Mary took an extraordinary amount, almost 3/4 of a pound of very expensive perfume. And she put it on Jesus' feet. She anointed Jesus with this perfume. Can you smell it? And then she wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the smell of this perfume. Here's the second story. This is from one of Paul's letters to the church in a town called Corinth. Paul says this: "Thank God. God, who is always leading us around through Christ as though we were in a parade." Can you see a parade? Can you imagine what a parade looks like? Thank God for leading us around as though we're in a parade. God releases the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ everywhere through us. We smell like Jesus? That's what Paul says. We smell like the aroma of Christ's offering to God, both to those who are being saved and to those who are on the road to destruction. We smell like a contagious dead person to those who are dying. But we smell like the fountain of life to those who are being saved. There's a lot of smells in there, isn't there? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The question we're holding this morning is, can you smell God? 23,000 times a day we breathe in, give or take. 23,000 times a day, you breathe air in through your nose, and every whiff of air that you breathe in contains tiny molecules that you cannot see. And some of those molecules are gaseous chunks, little bits of the stuff that's in the world around us. A cup of coffee, or mothballs, or even another person. Little bits waft up into the air, and they come into our nose. When those airborne molecules hit the back of our nose, there is a postage stamp size thing called the olfactory bulb that sits way back up in the back of our noses. And this little patch of stuff has hairs all over it, right? And those hairs are directly connected to neurons in our brains that send a message about the identity of those molecules. They tell us what the smell is. I don't think a lot about smell on a day-to-day basis, I have to admit. Whenever they do surveys of the most popular senses, like the ones that you would, you know, the ones that you would least want to live without, smell always finishes somewhere down at the bottom of the list. But smell is amazing. It's incredibly nuanced. It's almost immediate. And it's chock full of emotions. It's nuanced, it's immediate, and it's full of emotion. There's a reason for that. The olfactory bulb, this place where we get our smell, is part of what's called the limbic system in the brain. And it's the part of the brain that controls our mood, our behavior, and our memory. So think about that. Our noses are plugged directly into the part of our brain that talks about mood and behavior and memory. Things that go into our nose affect us almost right away, and often that effect is emotional. I want to walk with you through how this actually works, because I found it fascinating. It's not something we think about on a day-to-day basis, but it's a profound sense. The first time we smell something, whenever we smell something, and we have to learn all of our smells from scratch. So the very first time we smell something in the world, a signal is sent to our brain, and not only do we mark that smell, but we take a mental picture. So we take a picture of everything that's going on when we're smelling that smell. So when we smell something, it attaches itself in our minds to whatever is going on. So it might be an object, it might be a person, it might be an entire scene that gets fused in our brain and it becomes a memory. Take a very particular smell that I shared this morning, that smell of chlorinated water. If you were to come upon that smell, you would immediately recognize it as a swimming pool. But not only that, you might have a very particular swimming pool that comes to mind. It could have been the pool that you swam in last, if you were at Fun on the Farm and you were at Kent's Farm and you remember being in that pool, or if there was a pool that you grew up going to week in, week out. Or you might get a feeling about what it feels like to be a child in summertime on vacation from school. All of that comes through the smell of chlorinated water. Or how about another smell that is just on the horizon? How about the smell of decaying leaves? Could you conjure that smell even without having it in front of you? Decaying leaves smell like fall, right? We associate that smell with a particular season of the year. Seasons can have their own kind of smell. For me, though, the decaying leaves is connected with a very specific image. I remember when I was about 10 years old, in the backyard of our house in Columbus, Ohio, we raked up all the leaves that had fallen from the walnut and oak trees and put them in a big pile in the middle of the backyard and jumped in the pile. So I remember my brother and my mom and the house I grew up in, and all of that comes through the smell of decaying leaves. So scent is this confluence, not only of what we smell, but of what we see and hear and feel in our bodies. It's an amazing sense. So we walk through this world and we're capable of distinguishing all kinds of different smells. Scientists think we can distinguish 10,000 different aromas. And our question this morning is, what does God smell like? One thing that's clear from the Bible is that our sense of smell has always been a part of our whole body experience of God's presence. The biblical landscape into which God appears very often in Scripture is full of fragrances. And these fragrances are not always mentioned, but they're always there just below the surface. One fascinating exercise is when you read the Bible is try to imagine what that place smells like. Think about the Garden of Eden. the lush verdancy of that garden, or the arid, dry landscape of the wilderness? What did it smell like to be there? We think about the smoke coming off of the burnt offerings, or the incense wafting up as prayers to God in the temple. Jesus' world, too, is full of smells. What did it smell like to be in the stable when Jesus was born with the heaving animals? What did it smell like when Joseph was teaching Jesus the trade of woodworking, shaving and cutting down wood for construction materials? What about the smell of bodies, right? All the bodies that gathered around Jesus as he walked around Galilee, following him to listen to his words or to cramp into tight spaces to see if he would perform one of his legendary miracles. What did it smell like to be cramped in with all of those fragrant bodies? What about the smell of sickness in the house of a person with leprosy? Or even with Lazarus? The King James version of the Bible, when it talks about Jesus raising Lazarus, has the immortal line, "He stinketh." 3 days he was dead when Jesus raised him. What about the smell of bread and wine under the nose when Jesus share that last meal with his friends? And then there's this amazing story that I read again this morning about the nard, the perfume, being poured out onto Jesus' feet. This pungent fragrance, this anointing, the house was filled with the smell of perfume. I've always imagined that smell, as much perfume as was used, stayed on Jesus' body all throughout Holy Week. In the days that followed, as he went into Jerusalem from Bethany, and as he approached his trial, and as he was crucified and laid in the tomb, I imagine that smell stayed with him. And that even when Jesus came out of the tomb, and even when he appeared to the disciples in those mysterious days afterward, I've got to believe that he smelled like Jesus. You know, every one of us has a smell, whether we like it or not. No matter how we try to cover it up, every one of us has a smell. It's like our fingerprint. Every one of us has a unique aroma. People have said time and time again that after someone they love dies, they can still smell them. When Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was resurrected, they say that he breathed on them and said, "My peace I give to you." He breathed the Spirit on them. He breathed. He was so close to them, he emitted an aroma. They could smell him. What do you think Jesus smelled like? Like the bodies? Like death? Like the burial perfume? Just like the marks of the nails in his hands? They knew it was him because they smelled him. Paul says to us, be the aroma of Christ. It's a fascinating image. Paul says, you who have the memory of God in your bodies, you have smelled and felt what peace and God's presence is like. So go and bear that fragrance into the world. Don't just let people see you. Don't just let people hear your voice. Let them smell you. Paul's making fun of the Roman imperial processions, when the Roman dignitaries would march through the streets in grand processionals, showing off their power and showing off their authority for all people to see, so that the people would be cowed and intimidated by the grandeur of the empire. And there were fragrances associated with these grand processionals. And so Paul is making fun of that in this passage. He's saying, we disciples of Jesus, being led around as though we're in a great parade. But we give off a different aroma, he says. It smells awful to some, repulsive to others. It looks like foolishness to many, but to those who know what God smells like, you give off the aroma of the divine. So what does Jesus smell like? Some of you remember the smell of a bunkhouse in New Orleans. 7 years in a row, I think, some of you went down to New Orleans after the hurricane to help the community rebuild. What did that bunkhouse smell like? Is that the fragrance of Christ? How about a potluck supper? Or a meal that you bring to someone who has just had a baby or who is sick? Could a lasagna be the fragrance of Christ? How about the pages of an old family Bible or a hymnal that's been in your family for years? How about the smell of a neighborhood that the world has looked past or abandoned, but where Christ's presence is every single day? It smells something like the smell of trash accumulating in the curb. It's the fragrance of Christ. Maybe it's the living room of a grandparent who showed you what faith looks like over a lifetime. The smell of that living room, is it the fragrance of Christ? Or the damp darkness of a great cathedral? Or a place in nature where there was a cathedral of trees, and that dampness is the smell of the divine? It might even smell like death, coming from the body of someone that you love, as you sit by their bedside and tell stories and sing hymns, and tell them that you will see them again on the other side. The aroma of Christ smells like all of these things. And it also smells like you. After years of walking in the way of Jesus, in this great parade of the saints, wondering whether the parade is taking you anywhere, whether it's leading any place at all, after years of doing this, you find that you reach out and you hug someone on a Sunday morning and you say, "The peace of Christ be with you." And they notice something about you. An aroma of love, of mercy, and of peace. Take a deep breath this morning. Your nose can distinguish 10,000 smells. Your nose can distinguish the fragrance and the aroma of Christ.